Yeah, thank you, brother. Philippians chapter 2 this morning. Philippians chapter number 2. Been in Ephesians for a while. We're looking at where to go to next, but I wanted to preach a message this morning about the Lord, about the mindset of Christ and having that transfer over to our minds. If the challenge of the Christian life is to be more like the Savior every day. And if you're a person that has to see marked progress daily, it's a frustrating thing. Sometimes don't move that fast, or you're like, I just want this opportunity to do it, and the opportunity doesn't come. And that's why, man, every time and everything, here's my chance. How big or small, to show patience, to show love, to speak kindly, to not speak at all, whatever it is. I mean, it's like, that was my shot, and I blew it. If you're like me, you blow it a lot. You blow it. You're just like, oh, that was my opportunity. Or you're like, you know what? Hey, that was kind of nice. In the flesh, you cringe because you're like, oh, I could just tell them what I think. Oh, don't do that. Don't do that. A lot of collateral damage and a lot of pieces you got to pick up. Let us be kind. But how does it go from, getting that? And our message, what I have in the bulletin is the message is from verse 8 of chapter 1. You don't have to look there yet. It says, For God is my record. So if we were to look at your life, look at Paul's life, and he said, my record is God. God's my record. So if you look at God and then look at Paul, things will line up right. Things he said, the things he did, he said, God is my record. Instead of starting there, we're going to start in chapter 2, and we're going to go with the oriental orientation. You go from, instead of left to right, you go right to left. And so we're going to go from chapter 2 to late chapter 1, and then beginning of chapter 1 to finish verse number 1 of Philippians chapter 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Father, we do pray that you would help us this morning. We pray that you'd work in hearts, Father, where hearts are in need. Father, where we lack today, I pray that you would grow us. We do pray that you would bless the service going on downstairs as well, Lord, and work in our children's hearts, Father, for Lord, salvation, for just more closeness to you, Father, for love, obedience, all those things that are needed, Lord. We pray that you'd work there as well. We love you, Lord. We give you the praise for all thoughts and decisions made in the hearts of men today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. If there is anything good in Jesus, if there's anything good in Christ, if we broke it down in our modern day vernacular, if there's anything good that could come from it, he said, you'll fulfill my joy in verse 2, that you be like-minded. He said, you'd make me a whole lot happy. He said, here's Paul. He's just a human. He's passing off the scene, right? And he's going through and he's getting church. Yes. Was he a statesman of the church? Yes. He was a bunch of things. You couldn't just, and it's hard for people to be like, well, what are you? And like, just the servant of the Lord. And that's what Paul was. He stayed when he needed to stay, left when he needed to leave, and he taught people. But the thing was, is when he left, there had to have been a footprint, a fingerprint of Jesus there, or it wasn't going to stay. And so he had to make sure that people understood that. Look, it's not about your organization. It's not about your skill or your persona, your charisma, none of that stuff. You have to have Jesus here, or it's going to make it, or it's going to not make it. In order for that to happen, we have to have people thinking Christ. They have to think like him. If they don't think like him, then it's going to be gone. How do great businesses, how do great enterprises all of a sudden become nothing or become corrupt or change course? Because people don't think the same. Why is there narcissism in so many businesses? Needed narcissism to keep a track, right? It's a bad word to say. What narcissism is a bad word? Well, not if you want to keep the same line of thinking. If a dad passes a business on to a son, on to his son or whatever, it says, we're keeping it this way because we can think the same. Do you see the trend there? And he says, well, if we're going to follow Jesus, we have to think like him. The Bible says in verse number 2, says one mind. One mind. So, I mean, you get all these people together, it's like, all right, we're going to choose one mind, and this is going to be our way of thinking. Whose mind are we going to choose? Right? And hopefully we would put forth the Lord's mind and said, okay, if we were to all think like the Lord, we'd look and see, how would the Lord do this? How would he treat this? Then each one of us individually, when we come together, it's going to be one. That's what church bodies are to be. That's why the local church is so important. That's why we're not a conglomerate of strangers. I mean, if we were 1,000 people big, okay, which I wouldn't be here, but if whoever'd be a smart guy be here, preacher, if we were 1,000 people big, I wouldn't care, but it would still have to be the same. In the sense of, it just have to be a bigger version of the same family. Does that make sense? Most aren't. They're, and again, you get some churches, they're a big conglomeration of strangers, right? Do you know these people? No, I don't know. Oh, they go to church here, they go, right? How many of y'all think you know about everybody in here, right? Right. Now, praise God, somebody new comes in, right? And it happens. Happens a lot. Happens a whole lot more than I ever thought. When I came up here and we started, I'm like, man, I wonder how often new people come in. I just wondered. In Chihuahua, the little town I'm from, it just wasn't crazy often that new people came. It just wasn't. We give a big church in Pasco. There was new people all the time. And you really had to work. You know, you had to look for them. Like, oh, here's a new person. You know, folks come in, bus families, whatever. New people. Those new people come in and they become for certain weeks. Oh, I haven't a chance to meet them. But to your credit, most of you get around and everybody says, oh, yeah, I talked to them. They're great. They're this, they're that, they're whatever. And you get around and you meet somebody. Wonderful. Great. One mind. One mind. The Bible says in verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. All right? Example. A business meeting coming up, right? Gotta have them, right? Gotta have them. We're on paper as a business with the state. I mean, I try to keep all that stuff to the minimum. I was convinced, right? Staff infection comes from staff meetings. I just found that somewhere, and I'm saying, there is staff meeting, and I just, you know, I don't know if I want that, you know, every week. I gotta be exposed to that every week. And I just joke around. I'm not for that's just not me. But if for us to go, for us to have one mind, the Bible says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Well, we're gonna do it this way, and there's 40% of you that like it, 60% of you don't, we're gonna do it anyway. That doesn't work in the family. That doesn't work in the church. That doesn't work as Christ. Well, there's our Supreme Court justices is an odd number, just in case, and the Godhead is an odd number, just in case they don't agree, right? And we got two and one. No. The Bible says over and over, all three of them are one. All three of them are one. The Bible says in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So you can see it. All in agreement. So if we're going to think like Christ, we have one mind. We have the mind of Christ. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Verse 3. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. You'll live a happy life looking out for other people. It may be a pain in the neck sometimes. You may be like, you feel like nobody's looking out for you sometimes. But he is always. And he'll prove you wrong over and over, and he'll make you feel low. He's like, nobody's watching. Nope. And he'll do it. He's like, you are watching out for me, Lord. You are. You are taking care of me. You are watching out for me. He said, let this be the mindset. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Verse 4. Look not every man on his own things. If I could go preach in Georgia today, if I could preach in Pastor, slipping his mind. The communist that's running for the Senate seat down there. If I could preach in his church today and preach against communism today, right? This verse here says, don't take everything that belongs to everybody and give it to everybody. It says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Look for the need to be met and meet it. Blind man comes to Jesus and he cuts his toenails. No! Right? Deaf man brought to Jesus, right? And he gives him a magnifying glass. No, right? He helps him where he needs it. says, now what? And some people thought, well, I just get my needs, I just get, whoa, whoa, whoa. And no, he changes your life. That's the idea. He meets your need and he transforms you. Now you go meet somebody's need. Well, I need you to do that. Yes, you do. That's why you need me. Got to have the Savior. Got to have one mind. What are we doing this for? To help people see the Savior. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Verse 5, let this mind, this way of thinking, this way of attacking problems, this way of going into something, starting out, let this mind be in you. And you have to let it happen. You got to work at it. It has to be a choice. I have to choose others. I can't choose myself. Pride, man, pride is just in us. It's woven deep. And we got to pull them threads like loose, man. Right? You're trying to pull them loose strings out of something and it's, you know, not quite as loose as you were hoping. And then it all bunches up and you're like, oh, now I'm in a pickle, you know. Try to figure, ooh, this is just the guys trying to do it, you know. Not supposed to pull them, I know, ladies, right? You're just supposed to cut them. Every once in a while you pull one and it's just like, it just comes right out. And you're like, ah, they're not all that way, right? And man, I pride in there and you're like, get it out of it. I have to choose. Others. I'm going to say it in a way that helps others. Yeah, I feel differently. But what I feel is the flesh. Lord, how would you have me to speak to these people? Kindly, please. Kindly. All right. I'll do it kindly, right? That may mean you have to walk a lap around the building or two, right? It may mean that you have to, you say, but I'm not in the right frame of mind. Get in the right frame of mind. You have to make a choice. And the Bible tells us here, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Paul said, we have the mind of Christ. It wasn't an arrogant thing. What he's saying is, look, I made the choice. I was born with pedigree. I came from a great school. I had the best teachers. I had money. I had a great job. Right? Killing people is a great job. I don't know, but I'm just saying. He was doing well for himself. Okay? But I'm going to choose to let God lead in my life. He said on the Damascus Road, I don't know if he's laying face down or face up. You ever wonder about things like that? I do. Every once in a while. 89, 95 degrees. Who knows, right? And maybe it was face down, maybe it was face up. He said, Lord, what wilt thou have me? Lord, all these guys with me, they need a job. I mean, look at them. I mean, no, this is me. Me, right? My mind. I have to make the choice for me. The controlling part of human nature. We want to control how other people think. And hey, we hate it. I praise God for this. Like, don't tell me how to think. I don't want to tell people how to think. I want God to affect you, to brainwash, to make you think like Christ. That is what we need. How can I? Otherwise, you got to have somebody telling you what to do all the time because you can't think the way God has you do it. Or just tell me to do what I said. That's boring. God says, I want you to love me. Love is a choice. I want you to choose me. So I make that choice. And it's going to come out good for God. It's going to come out good for the people. They may not even see it that way all the time, as sometimes they don't, right? Working with kids and saying, well, this is what God has. Well, I'm not crazy about that. Yeah, I know. I know, but you got to be kind. But they did this to me, right? But cinnamon in the eye on the way to church this morning. And that doesn't sound fun. Why'd you do that? Why did you look at me this way? That's like the flesh. Get a bigger, sharper stick and poke it in their eye, right? Or get two of them, and then they can't get you the next time because they're blind. They can't see and all that stuff. But then you got to lead your brother around by the hand. And all that. Follow the flesh. It's always going to be a mess. I'm going to be kind. So we got to make this choice. It is always a choice. Bible says in verse 6 is choices. Verse 7 is choices. Verse 8 is choices, and it all starts with a mindset. Look at verse 6. Who being in the form of God? Okay? It's a choice. He said, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. It's going on the sign this week. I think that's why I said trap. I think it was reputation this week. It's a choice. You want a big reputation? Okay. God's like, oh, all right. Okay. or you make a choice to make it about somebody else. Deflect the praise onto God. Now, Jesus, he could have received it all. He's God. Go through. Look through the New Testament. Go through all the times he's pounding on his chest saying, I'm God, hear me. You know why? Because all of this said it already, and they wouldn't listen to it. So all he did was fulfill it. I mean, he's in this short little section called the Synoptic Gospels, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He's a little tiny section. Doing what the first, all that volume said he was going to do. Shouldn't have to go around and say, it's me, it's me, it's me. All those prophets you killed, they all said it was me. Said where I was going to come from. They said where I was going to be born, how it was going to be, what tribe I was from. Just so you didn't have to guess because there was 12, right? I mean, it's all laid out. So all the Christmas prophecy passages are about. He's coming. Happy holidays. Ugh. It took me a while. I was blown away when I figured out what that was in front of mass. I said, what? We just ran out of ink. They couldn't put an A there because they're a B or a C or a D or an X. They're crossing out Christ. I was pretty young, but I was pretty fired up. I said, that's not right. I can't remember if it was like Shopko or Target or something in Spokane. I just, that's not right. That's not right. This is not right. Mercy. Here's the one he's saying we're supposed to think after. And we're going to just take him out. Bible says, verse number 7, made himself, okay? But made himself. Again, choice. That's you and that's me. I got to let this mind in. I have to make myself of no reputation. So when people try to build reputation, I understand you're sitting there trying to tear it down, but you just deflect all of what is put to you to God. Good or bad? Good or bad? We were taught when, you know, standing in the back, shaking hands, and people going out, oh, it's a great message, preacher. Praise the Lord. Really? That's all you got? Praise the Lord! Preacher, did you even study this week? Praise the Lord! Good to see you, sister! You know, surely you're not coming back tonight. Praise the Lord! I could not just say it. Oh, man. If I don't die before you do, I will. I'll be back here. No, but anyways, the idea was, it's about the Lord, right? And so we deflect those things. But you got to work at making yourself of no reputation, because the moment you start taking days off, or in football we call it plays off, we're looking at the NFL introductions, and we weren't sitting down saying, come on, family, let's look at these things. I can't remember, we're eating a birthday dinner somewhere, and they were on the thing at Red Robin or something. And I said, oh, we played against that guy right there. I said, you know why I got drafted lower than he did? Because he was a bum in college. I said, he would play one play, and the next play, he would take a play out. We call it taking a play off. Yeah, you're wearing the helmet, you're wearing the shoulder pads, you know, stuff, but you just don't do it. You just don't go all the time. You don't have that motor. You're not just making all that play, and you're not going to do this. The moment we take a play off, and somebody says, man, you did a great job there. I'm like, you know what? I did do a great job there. You know what? I did. Unbelievable. This is great. You know, it's all about me. And I was, oh, you know. And you start receiving that stuff, the mind of Christ just shrivels. Made himself of no reputation. Stephen made himself of no reputation so much they put him under a pile of rocks after they smashed him with them. Right? Guess where he got him looking? Up. You know where they didn't want to look? It's up. Right? They just put him down. And that's just the way it is in this life. You're preaching a message people don't want to hear, they are going to squish it. And watching all the censorship stuff and all the big tech people and all the social media guys squirm and squirm. Senator from, where was he from? Was it from Iowa? Guy just like had me, man. I'm like, give it to him. Give it to him. Let's go. Nice guy. Sharp dude. Just asking him question after question after question. You're a publisher. Oh no, we got policy. And one of the big things now is that they're trying to pull, I can't remember the protection, it's in the defense bill. So it sounds bad. The media is going to pitch it as the president doesn't want the troops receiving money. But what it's going to do, it's going to pull protection from some of these, social media platforms, because they're publishing. They're saying what can be put out and what can't be, and that makes them a publisher. Just like a newspaper. You want to put something in the Anchorage paper, you need to pay money. They look at it and say, no, you can't put this in. Okay, that's their right, it's their favorite, they're a publisher. It's not just a public platform, man. These other guys have been sneaking under the thing. He says, no, we're pulling that.
We're pulling that. You're going to be exactly what you are.
Our mindset, trying to suppress it. You preach a message, you have a mind, and you preach a message. The world wants to put it down, because it's Christ. Don't take any plays off and receive glory that belongs to God.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It's a choice, but made himself of no reputation. Bible says, and took upon him, choice, the form of a
servant. The word minister in the word of God means a servant.
Oh, I want to be the preacher because it means you get to serve everybody. That's exciting. If you won't pour a glass of water for somebody, stay out of the ministry. It's a mess. Just be a helper, right? You got to serve. And a lot of it isn't on Sunday. Just the way it is.
Hey, preacher, can I talk to you?
Yes! Service! Can you come up? Yes! Service!
I praise God for Alaska. Lord knew, right? Lord knew. Everybody up here is like, I'm good. I got it. You know, I'm good. Where I came from, you get called all the time. I need this. I'm like, well, yeah, I can do that. But man, that punk neighbor kid needs to be doing this, you know, or whatever. It's like, get over there and do it. Kick your kid in the pants and make him do it. I mean, yes, you know, influence your young person to have a better.
I'll do it. I will do it. Amen.
Right? You want them to make this choice of service. The Bible says the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. I couldn't imagine making something and then deciding I want to just be that and show them how to do it while they're like that. The idea was, look, I'm going to put you in the world, so I'm going to come into the world. I'm going to leave you an example. I'm going to leave the world, and I'm going to make you such that you continue in my example because of my power that I put in you and nothing else. And it's a miracle that we can function that way, but it is because of Christ. Choice, verse 8, being found in fashion as a man. Choice, verse 8, he humbled himself. Choice, verse 8, became obedient unto death. Choice, verse 8, even the death of the cross. They're all choices. All choices. It starts with a mindset. What are you thinking about? I ask that a lot of times. I ask my kids a lot of times, what are you thinking about? What do you think about this? Because I want to know. I can't look in there. Wouldn't it be fun, parents? You could walk around the back and see the little word screen across the window. I hate this. I hate this. I love this. This is exciting. Let's do this again. One of them, no words come out of there. You go back in and read the window and be like, oh, okay, all right, wonderful, right? Then they'd figure out a way to make the message opposite or whatever, you know? And you're like, ah, tricky kids, right? Ask my kids about tech stuff. Do you know how to do this? Oh, yeah, that's easy. I can. Okay, all right. We got to get up on the curve here. I got to figure out how to do this here. We can't look in there. We ask him, what do you think about this? One of the things I was reading this week, one of the, and this was an article put out by a Canadian, says one of the things that a Canadian that loves America, he said, one of the things that America's lost is the ability to debate anymore. He said, putting thoughts out in the open is what they used to do on college campuses. Now it's not. It's like, hey, we want this guy to come speak our cause. And it's like, oh, you don't agree with us? Smash them, silence them, cause, be quiet, cause, louder, instead of, hey, share your idea and let the people decide. That's what it used to be. And we lose that. And we're getting dumber because all the good ideas are being squashed or bad ideas are being put out. And ideas in general. I mean, how could you teach somebody that socialism kind of is not going to work? Well, you just force it down their throats and just make them believe it. Well, that's how they do it over in those communist countries. They kill everybody opposed. I mean, that's real simple, right? Like I said, who wants to go to Russia and run against Vladimir Putin? Nobody. Nobody in Russia does either. He'll be there forever. It's like, I'm going to run against him. And he's done. Could you imagine in some of these nations, the media slams that we get in this country and all my, I remember kids are just like, that's a, what do they call it? The commercials, I can't remember the name from when they come up. They're just blasting the other guy. You know, that's all it is. It's not nothing about your platform or what you're trying to do. Is this guy's a bum? This guy's doing this. This guy's doing. Can you imagine doing it in these other places? Like, he shall be silenced forever. Right? He's going away. What happened to him? Well, we don't know. You know, we just not running for, you know, czar anymore, you know. Mercy. We're suppressing these ideas. This mind of Christ is a choice. You have to make this choice. Okay, so we're going to move on here. Go to verse number 21. So we're going to go from chapter 2, and like I said, we're going to work to 8 in the front. If my mind, the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Say, what's the difference between the heart and the mind? I wish I could tell you all of that. I'm still trying to figure it out all myself. I know it's worded different in the Bible in the sense that there's a mind and your heart. There's a connection there. Okay, when the Bible talks about bowels of mercies, that mercy has to come from the inside. It's not something that is just skin deep. It's on the inside that I'm going to decide that I want to love somebody, that I want to decide that I want to help somebody, that I give my life for somebody. That has to come from the inside. That's not skin deep type stuff. Skin deep type stuff, you're like, eh, take it or leave it type stuff. This stuff says, I will die for this. This has to happen, right? And you've made this decision in your mind. Verse number 21, Paul says, okay, so he's put on the mind of Christ. He's let this mind of Christ be in him. Paul has chosen. Now, verse 6 doesn't work for Paul because he's not equal with God. He's not that. But Paul has chosen to make himself of no reputation. Paul has chosen to take upon himself the form of a servant. Okay, no likeness of men. That's not him. Verse 8, found in the fashion that he's made the decision to humble himself and to become obedient unto death. Now, to become obedient unto death in life means to die to ourselves. It means to die to our own ambitions, the things that we would have, and to serve Christ. Verse 21, he says, for to me to live is Christ. Said to die is gain. To die is gain. The gentleman we prayed for on Wednesday night passed away. Friday, gone. I got a text from Brother Gray, in Fairbanks, that Brother Gil Anger passed away. And Gil Anger, again, like Paul, was he a missionary? No, I don't think so. He never, he was this missionary. I call him, he's like a missionary statesman / evangelist / exhorter / challenger / Australian that ticked all the American churches off that were sitting in their comfort zones. I mean, he was just this guy. When you saw him, you're just like, that's like Paul's nephew. I mean, he was just that guy. It's an amazing guy. I carry this piece of paper around in my Bible. This was from one of our, we would go have coffee somewhere. He hated Starbucks. Like, he hated all the liberalness of all the world. But whenever we had coffee, he's like, now let's go to Starbucks, bro. Keith, I'll meet you out this time. He always knew what you could get. But anyways, he'd draw this. He's like, and it was just an example of how to think about things. How people think. How come more people aren't called to missions? How come more people won't go out and serve God in just these different things? I remember the first time I heard him preach, I felt like somebody had just kicked me in the gut with a boot. Just like, oh, oh. And I liked it so much that we went to lunch somewhere. We were in Tri-Cities. I think we went to Skipper's or somewhere. We went over there by Columbia Center Boulevard. I just remember that. They preached to Mexicans the next hour. I listened to the whole thing because it's got to be interpreted into Spanish. So he's going to say it in English first. I listened to it again. Like, after I thought he had church. What was it? Mindset. There was something there. The Spirit was saying, attracted to this. Are you talking about dead to self? He bought world tickets every year. Every year, bought a world ticket. You buy this airplane ticket, and you just bounce in countries. He had youth camps. He had missionary camps. He had projects going on in mission field. He had a project going on in Africa, one going on in Europe. He had a big youth camp going on in New Zealand. His son was in Peru, and he would do these routes every year. Then Burma a lot. He got so sick in Burma. This is 8-10 years ago. He picked up a cough there that he never got rid of. Just coughed. Just cough. I mean, it was bad. It was a bad cough. It was just bad. And when this COVID thing started, I was like, man, Brother Gil. And I'm saying he died of COVID, but he just died this year. His body just give out. And man, he used to get, he'd go up to the room and we had a missions apartment there at the church. And he'd go to the room and he had bags everywhere, man. He'd have DeWalt tool sets and he'd have this and that. Because when he'd come here, he could get the stuff. And then he would take it and either ship it to whoever needed it. Because one, you could actually get it. Yeah, cell phones, you get cell phone. I mean, whatever he needed, he'd get it and he'd send it to these places. And he was just amazing guy. Definitely outside the box. Was like zero on technology, a zero. Never sent an email in his life, I don't think. Kill was amazing. His wife Joy had to stay in Australia and just pray. She's by herself today. Like, oh, glorious. She's by herself. It's like Biddy Chambers when Oswald Chambers died at 43. Spent the rest of her life by herself. But published over 50 books with his name on them, not her name. She put BC down at the bottom, little tiny, like lowercase BC down the bottom. Because everything he said for the 3 years they were married, she shorthanded down. She could shorthand like 300 words a minute or some crazy thing. She was amazing. She wanted to be the secretary to the prime minister of England, little country girl, just had a desire. She learned shorthand and she's like, everything he wrote down. So he started a Bible college. He would crisscross. Chambers would go to America, he'd go to Cincinnati and he would preach and he would go back to England, go back and forth, teach Bible students. He had like 200 correspondence students back in the teens before World War I broke out. World War I breaks out and he goes to Egypt to be with British Commonwealth troops right before they go fight the Germans, and he died there, 43, died. And short ministry, short time there, but it's got one of the most circulated devotionals you ever read. My utmost, first, highest is Oswald Chambers. So we see this. Oh, it's all no. You got to die to self and let God give whatever. Whatever you have, life. Whatever you have. Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Brother Gill knows today. Pastor Robson, another man that trained me, knows today that to die is gain. Man, it's exciting. I texted somebody, Brother Gill graduated. I didn't say he died. I didn't say he passed away. He graduated. I was like, man. It's going to be exciting. And I know as I get older, I had a reality moment this week. I was sitting there thinking, that's where it sets in. Like, what age does that set in where you hit it? It's just like, and Paul says it in the Bible. I'd rather be up there, but it's needful that I'm down here. And I'll put up with all the aches and pains and the squeaks and squawks of my body here. But I really want to be there. Why? Because of the mindset. I mean, put yourself in Christ's kingdom every day, every moment, and then live in this mess, right? And be like, you know what? One of these days, the Bible says the body groans and it can't wait. But again, it's a choice. It's a mindset. We have to choose to put on the mind of Christ. One more verse and we're done this morning. So we've gone from letting this mind be in us. That's a choice. And then we see that it'll put us in servitude to Christ. It'll put us into service for others. It'll make us obedient, the Bible says. It'll become our life, for the need to live is Christ and to die is gain. It'll become our life. Verse 8 of chapter number 1, and we're done this morning. The Bible says, for God is my record. For God is my record. How greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Christ Jesus. You have the people that you work with. You have the people that will come after you. You have the people that you train in life. You're influencing people always. Well, I'm not a teacher or a trainer. That doesn't matter. You're influencing people always. You have to make this choice. I look at some of these people that spent their life embezzling and stealing and cheating, and but I'm just like, what is there? I mean, what is there? I mean, you got a house, it's going to be somebody else's. You got this, you got six planes, six whatever, they're going to be somebody else's. Solomon ran like everything out that you could think of possibly and got it in his day. And he said, vanity. In fact, I'd lose my mind. This is such vanity. He said, this is crazy. I mean, you look at, I'm not 100% sure, but I'm not, I don't know if he was a melancholic temperament, but I mean, he was just, this is wrong. It's all wrong. It's all wrong. Because you think, well, if I just had this, if I just got this, and people are chasing this thing, oh, they're chasing. If I could just get more, if I was trying to explain to the kids, it's like, well, Why are the Chinese? And let's say, it's just other people's money. And they love money more than they love America. They don't care what country it is. They don't care. They absolutely don't care. And we have a person right now that cares more about the people than anything else. And it wants it to be squashed. They want this guy gone. Paul Reich came on the other day, and I said, give me a break. Oh, you're undermining the process. Fraud's not a part of the process. Lying and cheating's not a part of the process. The 15th's a big day, so that's tomorrow's Pearl Harbor Day. Tomorrow's the 7th. At 7. Wednesday, the 15th. Next, not this coming, but the next. The electors are supposed to certify by then, so we'll see what happens. But we're trying to get the state lawmakers in each state to stand up and just say, we don't trust the process. That's all they got to say. They don't even have to say, we got evidence. We talked about in men's Sunday school class today, pulling suitcases of ballots out and running them through the machine. A lady from Pasco tried to share it on Facebook, and you got the big disclaimer and things blocked out. This thing is being fact-checked. And I was like, not a whole lot to fact-check there. 220 election there. I mean, it's just right there. Look at the video. Unbelievable. All these text marks, man. Every last one of them. Our policy. I just want to show you policy, right? That's not right. You have an agenda. Oh, you just gave $350 million to activist groups. I mean, just out of goodness of your heart. Wow, I wish I had $3.50 to give. That'd be awesome. Wonderful. $350 million for one election? Think you have an agenda?
Yeah, you do. To suppress. And at the end of all this is just power and greed and all these things. I asked my uncle one year, he said, what do you want for Christmas? And I was like, I don't know, this is these guys' age, right? So I want money and power, uncle. I want money and power. So I got it. I got like a German dollar bill wrapped around a battery. That's what I got. I got money and I got power, right? This battery dead? There's only one of them, right? It's like you got one AA and a dollar bill from our country, right? You got money and power. Okay. Electrons are gone, people. The Bible says the riches make wings and they fly away. And the Proverbs writer says, wilt thou set thine eye upon that which is not? It's not going to matter. Other people matter. Christ matters. The gospel matters. Paul says, for God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. He wants them to learn Jesus. When could Paul decide that, boy, you know what? It's time to leave. It's time to go here. Well, he was just super smart and calculated upon the number of convert. No. Holy Spirit told him it's time to go, right? Christ is here. He's been established. He can go. You got a Timothy. You got a Tychicus. You got some of these other people. You got Aquila and Priscilla. He taught them while they were building tents together. And he says, look, this is the gospel. How could they go and help Apollo? It was an interesting thing, right? So Paul spent time with Aquila and Priscilla building tents. That's what they were doing. Paul's a tent maker. They were tent makers. They're building tents together. I think it was in Corinth. If I remember, I have to go back and look at my history. They're building tents. And while they're building, they're talking. That's the way it is. Right? Building, they're talking. Don't got their earbuds in or their earbuds or whatever they're doing. So, checking their iPhone. On the watch. They're building tents. And he's explaining it to them. And he's telling them. And guess what? Apollos comes along and he starts preaching. Guess who takes Apollos aside and helps him out? The ones that spent time with Paul. And they just so they just showed him more perfectly. He said, look, this is the, because we got it from Paul. He was a teacher. He worked with the people. And the people that came after them, he said, I want you to get it. They don't want you to get it. But Paul rolls around. And we're just, I tell kids, I was like, look, there are words that come out of our mouths, we're going to say 1,000 times, right? You need to do this, whatever it is, you know, football, whatever it is, stay square. You need to have good stance, whatever it is, you say it over and over and over again. Why? Because you want it to sink in, right? Repetition. And then pretty soon, like, the aha moment comes, right? And you're just, you know, it's like, you got no, you know, you're a parent, and you've been, like, trying to get through to your child. And they come to you and they're just like, I think I understand. And like with your last breath, you fall to the ground. You're like, oh, finally. And then you die and buried, but you passed it on, right? I mean, you give everything you got to get it to the next group, right? The whole idea is the mindset thing. If you're out painting fire hydrants, what do you mean by that? Well, I don't want red. I want to paint yellow. Okay. Well, at the end, what is it? So a fire hydrant, right? The yellow one's the red one. You want to change what it actually is. You want to change somebody's mindset and say, man, well, you need to think about others, right? You can tell them the action, okay? Be kind, right? That's what's needed. Great, let's be kind. But you tell them, man, Christ was kind. You got to think kind. You got to become kind, right? The poor kid can't catch a football. And you look at him, he's like, slow it down. He's like, I'm going to watch you. I'm going to tape you. Watch this thing. These poor kids are like, well, we played football all the time. I slept in my brother's helmet, man. When his first season, so you couldn't play in middle school until seventh grade, right? Seventh, sixth grade. No, Nate got his helmet. What the football? Slept it. Slept the helmet. I slept in my shoulder pads, people. I know it's weird. I was like 18 years old, sleeping in my shoulder pads. I liked them. They were odd. You couldn't roll over in bed because like shoulder pads are bigger. Well, you're just like, awesome. About football. Well, how do those guys on set, they never turn it off. I mean, they'll go home and sit with their family, but it never like really turns off. It's always going, right? I tell this kid, look, you like this in your hands. And it's because they don't have a dad doing it in the backyard. A lot of it. Or big brother. All right. So put these two together like that. Okay? I say, you see this football? I said, pointy on the end. Okay? That pointy is going to go right in here. Okay? When it does, you know, grab it. I said, don't try to squish it. I said, treat it like an egg. Okay? I said, it's hitting your hands. It sounds like you're hitting the wall. So you got stone hands. Man, you got to, trying to save your life, right? You're going to throw it right at your face. Or I'll tell them, I'm throwing it right at your face. So you got a helmet, you got a helmet. You're going to catch it. You know, all season long. And I'm telling you, what's your goal as a football coach? Well, we're going to win the national championship, the state championship, the national championship, and then we're going to Disneyland, and we're going to the White House, and we're going to take over the world. What's your goal? Just wanted to catch the ball. Once. In practice or live action. One time. Which one? That one over there with the glasses. One that weighs 80 pounds. That one over there. And if he does, you'll know because you'll hear me from a mile away. And I would. I get these little like freshman JV games. And like, yeah, just like waiting at the corner. It's like, coach, you're getting beat. I don't care. Johnny did something good for once. Yes, Johnny. And then their parents are there and they're so fired up. And in Christianity, it's the same thing. You gotta look for that stuff. You're trying to teach them when they do something good. It's like, yes, yes. And that's all Paul's saying here, except it's Christian. I want you to follow the mind of Christ. Look, they were kind, and I didn't even make them do it. They didn't even get paid off. Right? People do all kinds of stuff to get paid off. Amen. Crazy stuff. Like elections. Yeah, get off of that political stuff. It's crazy, but you see it on everywhere you go. Just a little bit of money. Yeah. Uh-huh. But guess what? You know why it's so bad and why it's so widespread? It's because it was a mindset. And that mindset was passed around. How did Nazism sweep Germany? It was a mindset. Where were the preachers of the Word of God? Where were they? I'd like to know. It'd be interesting to know. I know when you read, there was a Lutheran pastor that was shot right at the end, right before it was all over. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, wrote a book called The Cost of Discipleship, The High Price of Discipleship, but he was executed by them. And he preached against Nazis and preached against that stuff. Again, the voice getting squished. And in life itself, others. Hey, be quiet over there! Hey! Others. We squish it and we suppress it. And we don't say, you know what? When I serve others, I live a fuller life. When I serve God, I feel alive. I feel like a fuller life. And Paul says, for me to live is Christ. When I serve Christ, I feel alive. Yeah, you're going to feel real tired. Okay? In the flesh, you're going to get tired and feel like, man, I got purpose. Like I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And he said, God's my record. I mean, well, what would you put on Paul's tombstone? He followed God. He obeyed God. He loved God. What would you put? Amazing author. author of 13 and maybe Acts, of the New Testament, you know, not that stuff. We love God. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Our song of invitation is 304. Is nothing between. Our altar's open to pray this morning. The mindset. You know, make a choice. Let's say life is about choices. We worked on our message with Sammy the other night, and I just told him, I said, man, it's a choice. Kindness. You got to choose. It's a mindset. This mind of Christ. All these actions that you say, well, I wish I was a better giver. I wish I was better at loving people. I wish I was kinder. I wish I was that. If you put on Christ, you get all of those things. He'll help you with every one of them rather than trying to piece this attribute or this part out that you like. You'll get them all. You'll get them all. 304, nothing between this morning. Our altar's open to pray.